Cybersecurity for the intelligence community has become what terrorism was in the early 2000s, an all-encompassing priority. So much so that Michael Vickers, the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, says he's making cybersecurity transformation the hallmark of his tenure. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me to discuss exactly how Vickers is taking on this cybersecurity challenge. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so I can understand why cyber has become a major security for the intelligence community, given what's coming at the United States in terms of cyber attacks from all over the world. How can Vickers leave his imprint on how the IC deals with all of this?
Well, what's interesting about Michael Vickers is he actually called cybersecurity and terrorism his top two priorities, both long-term and short-term. And I'll have to be honest, Tom, that surprised me maybe a little bit. Maybe it shouldn't have, but you know, you hear so much about terrorism that all of a sudden cybersecurity is thrown in there as part of that, hey, these are the things that keeps me up at night type of question. And I think that's the realization and the impact that we've seen over the cybersecurity challenges, both in the private and public sector over the last, you know, not just year, but I think 3, 4, 5 years. Now, Vickers says cyber is a near and present danger.
They are increasing in frequency, scale, sophistication, and severity of impact. The range of threat actors, the methods of attack, the targeted systems, and the victims who suffer from these attacks have also been expanding. Threats to our space systems are increasing, both disruptive, but also potentially destructive.
What's interesting about that last part of Vickers' comments there, what you heard, Tom, is concerns he's raising about space systems. These are obviously satellites and other things that are up in space. Now, this issue has come up from time to time, cybersecurity of space systems. For example, just this past August, the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics hosted a discussion about this issue with private sector and academia experts as well as NASA. But this was the first time, at least that I could find, where senior intelligence officials are making a point of highlighting the security, the cybersecurity of space systems. Now, this comes as a new report from the Office of the Director of Operational Test and Evaluation just came out earlier in the week, and it highlighted a major cybersecurity problems, DoD's weapon systems. Now, of course, many of these weapon systems depend heavily on satellites to work. So you can see how this issue is connected, but it's also a huge growing concern for DOD.
Yeah, interesting. I was just going to say it's good that you brought it up this morning. Just a few minutes ago, we talked about the Navy having launched the third in a series of new communication satellites called the Mobile User Objective Systems. And the communications mediums in space now is Internet protocol. So that really ties in with what I think Vickers is talking about.
Exactly. And if you think about what happens if someone hacks into a satellite, well, they could shut down the communication, or at least some of the communication, or the damage is maybe not as clear as if they do a denial of service attack against your internet, for instance. Now, going back to that report, just real briefly, I just want to give people the heads up that later this week, our colleague Jared Serber will discuss this report in more detail, and I have a link to it on federalnewsradio.com if people want to read it ahead of time. Now, Michael Vickers says that the challenge for cyber for the intelligence community is twofold, because it's both a tool for collection of information, but the destructive capabilities is something the IC has to stop from happening.
Over the past couple of years, we've built, and we're about two-thirds of the way done with this, cyber mission forces to defend the nation against a major cyber attack, to support the operations of our combatant commanders, and then to defend DOD's networks. We still have some work to do in this area in terms of building the intelligence infrastructure to support these operational forces, but we're fairly well along in that area.
Now, part of the intelligence infrastructure that you heard, again, Vickers talk about, are improvements being made over the last decade to the technology architecture.
There are even bigger changes to come in the next decade. I can't go into the details, but it'll provide much greater persistence than we have today, much greater integration in terms of a system of systems, and much greater resiliency, all important attributes given the importance of our space systems and the threats to them. Second area that we're working on, which are raised with these challenges, is making sure we continue our investment in advanced cryptanalytic systems.
Now, you heard him say space systems again. I think this is just a fascinating part of it. The other one last piece about cyber that I should highlight is Vicker says new capabilities are emerging, new cyber actors are emerging on the scene, whether it's North Korea or Iran or organized crime. And what Vickers is concerned about is they have access to these advanced technologies, whether it's fingerprinting or biometrics or whatever it is, and that the intelligence community in the U.S. more broadly once had this considerable capabilities gap, but Vickers thinks it's now shrinking and shrinking very quickly, and that's obviously of concern for him.
Now, you mentioned North Korea and China and Iran and having all of these capabilities. What about the insider threat, and how does that all fit into the cybersecurity efforts that he's pursuing?
Yeah, the post-Edward Snowden world that we continue to talk about, I think, remains very much in the forefront of every senior intelligence official and really every federal official's mind who has to deal with classified data. Vickers says the IC continues to modernize its security background system through the continuous evaluation approach.
Well, a change in our security system is something that we're looking to implement government-wide, so it involves Office of Personnel Management, Office of Management and Budget, the Director of National Intelligence, as well as the Department of Defense and multiple agencies. And so if we do, we've had some pilot programs, we're expanding in this area. If we do transform our system, you know, it will take some time. It's a several-year process to do that, and you know, we'll supplement existing systems as well.
Now, if you remember, the administration launched a review of the security clearance process after the Edward Snowden incident. The review recommended, in part, the idea of performing, you know, what I'll call credit checks on employees who handle classified data more often. Suitability reviews, I think, is what they call it.
And the continuous monitoring type of approach to looking at people also.
Exactly. And they've done some pilots so far, one by the Army. We wrote about this previously, and just a little bit of background about that pilot. The Army used the ACES system, commonly known as the Automatic Continuous Evaluation System, to gather data from some 40 different government and commercial data sources on about 3,300 Army service members, civilians, and contractors. The Army says it turned up previously unreported, quote-unquote, derogatory information on more than 21% of those surveyed, and another 3% had serious information turn up, financial issues, domestic violence, or drug abuse, which ultimately resulted in having their security clearances revoked or suspended. So you can see they're trying to make sure that they're doing this right. That's why they're going through the pilot program. And as Vickers says, we're doing things in the short term, but this continuous evaluation process is a longer-term piece. Now, as part of this insider threat challenge, Vickers says, is the workforce itself.
We've invested a lot in expanded training systems for our analysts, for the suite of capabilities that enhance our collectors. The human intelligence collection game requires a lot more, and it's strongly enabled by a lot of back office support that we didn't have as much of in my day, but it's very powerful today. And so we're fleshing out those teams and making sure we have, you know, very adequate training and career paths for these people, both for our uniformed people who work in this area in the department. A number of our services have established new programs as well as our civilian workforce. We have a particular shout out to the Defense Intelligence Agency, which has, you know, revamped its analytical training program.
Now, all this means that the transformation is happening. Obviously, you can see the bits and pieces over the years. But Vickers says the workforce, those reforms around the analysts and the training and the collectors and the information that they have, really has been the most significant over the last decade.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And Jason, beyond all of the cyber activity, which is a lot, how is Vickers transforming the defense intelligence community at large?
I think the broader reforms, including cyber and workforce, are why Vickers calls this the golden age of intelligence. He says since 2001, the entire environment has revolutionized, both in terms of the technology they're using and even the policy guiding the IC. And Director of National Intelligence James Clapper and Vickers aren't done yet. Vickers says there's greater intel integration than ever before. And he says look no further for evidence than the raid on Osama bin Laden.
Director Clapper and I have integrated processes in terms of the National Intelligence Program and the various forms of military intelligence program and battle space awareness and other things that constitute defense intelligence to make sure that we're rationalizing our investments across the intelligence enterprise. We issue joint guidance to all IC elements together every year It's called consolidated intel guidance. And so I think it's generally produced significant reforms. And then the American taxpayer gets an extraordinary return on investment from the Central Intelligence Agency. And so I'll leave it at that. But a lot of the things they do extraordinarily well.
And there's a lot more reforms and integration coming. We've talked about the ICIT environment, or ISIT, and also the DoD's Joint Information Environment. Those two umbrella terms, if you will, for systems and capabilities are being developed and integrated at the same time. And Vickers also says he wants other changes. He wants a better human intelligence, more capabilities there. He wants the intel community to do a better job of what he calls projecting power into denied areas, which basically means how can the U.S. do a better job of getting into places where they're not really welcome sometimes or all the time. And that's another piece of that cyber piece. And he says expanding the quote-unquote fleet size of counterterrorism capabilities. So as you can see, Tom, there's a ton of stuff going on, a lot of change happening. But without a doubt, I think cyber, which is at the top of his priority list, is also marbled through every one of these efforts.
Don't you wish you knew about 10% of what some of those guys know that's going on in the world?
I don't know if I could sleep at night sometimes.
Yeah, you really, you know, the knowledge they have and the ability to sleep at night, I guess, well, it, you know, it's a team effort. Nobody carries it all together. And Jason, in your story about this morning at federalnewsradio.com, you mentioned that he, getting back to the IT systems that they're revamping with cyber in mind, he says cloud is going to be a big part of their improved cyber posture. That seems a little counterintuitive because everyone's afraid of clouds because of who else can hack into them.
Well, I think you're right. I think one of the things about cloud, though, is that when they in the intelligence community talks about cloud, they're not talking about it the same way you and I do if we use a Google or Yahoo or Microsoft or Amazon cloud. They're building their own cloud. I mean, you saw that with the CIA and the big cloud contract that they developed. You're seeing that with what the ISIT program is, which has a definitely several different pieces that require, that depend on the cloud. So I think that's what he's really referring to more than what you and I or the average person thinks of cloud. So I think they're okay with it.
And did he mention whether that defense-wide technology initiative, that they're going to look into what could be the next round of technological advantage, similar to what they did back in the 70s, would that also extend to, I presume it would, to technologies available to the intelligence part of defense?
Correct. I think a lot of what they're doing around the IT piece is not just within ISIT or JIE, but there's a whole host of capabilities that Vickers, you know, kind of referred to, generally speaking, that said this could make us better. This could help us do our job, you know, more efficiently and effectively. The key words we always hear when it comes to government work.
All right. Executive Editor Jason Miller, thanks so much for that report.
Always a pleasure.